I think we need to find a house for Brother Chad and Miss Chelsea Berry to move to. No, we can't do that. Sure would like to, though. Aren't you glad for the Word of God this morning? For a sweet church family? And I'm blessed. This section over here, y'all are blowing the doors off. Amen. Good job, section. We need to give letters to our... This is A, B, and C. Come on, C.
Let's go.
I mean, a little bit of A or B. Okay, let's go to John chapter 15. Stand with me and we'll read our text this morning. John chapter 15. Our text is 4 through 6. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Or rather, 4 through 7. I'm sorry. I said 4 through 6. It's on the bulletin as 4 through 6, but it's actually through 7. Verse number 1, the Bible says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. That phrase right there should change our life.
Amen.
You cannot do it on your own. You can't. You'll try and you'll try, but you can't. Look at that verse again. Verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing.
Amen.
Love that phrase. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Father, I pray your blessings one more time upon the message, upon our time together this morning. We need you. This is you. Lord, it's all about you. Without you, we can do nothing. There's no hope for us outside of the hope that we find in you. So guide us, please. Convict us of our need. Help us to have courage and humility to respond in obedience, not to be prideful or angry or bitter about the working of your Spirit in us. Please touch us, work in us, hit us with the hammer of the Word of God. It's in your precious name we pray, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. So when I was a kid, one time we didn't have any milk. And my breakfast is cereal. That's where I am, okay? And in fact, in a lot of times, I'm still sort of there, even today. But... it's kind of hard to have a good bowl of cereal when you don't have any milk. And there's, by the way, growing up, my sister's here, she can validate this. There's not a whole lot of other food in the house, you know. If you have cereal, actually, you're really blessed to have that. So I pour the cereal, there's no milk, the cereal's already in the bowl, so I'm thinking, well, what are my options here? And there's not a lot of options. You could eat it dry. Who wants to do that? Now I eat it dry, but... I mean, when I was a kid. So I went to the faucet and I turned water on from the faucet into the cereal. And I thought, well, I mean, this'll probably be okay. It was not okay, friends. I did not eat that cereal. That's gross. It's sort of like trying to make chocolate chip cookies, but you don't have chocolate chips. You know, that doesn't work out too well. How about this? This is even better. I'm going to make chocolate chip cookies. I don't have chocolate chips, so I'm just going to use chips. Right? So then you just, and guys maybe would try this out, you know. You just take some potato chips, crumple them up, put them in the cookie dough, mix it up, and we have not chocolate chip cookies, but we have chip cookies. And that's probably not going to be very good either. Jesus has been telling his disciples that he's going to leave. In fact, he said, "I go," 6 times in chapter 14. He said in verse 27 of chapter 14, he says, "Peace I leave with you." The implication there is he's leaving. So they would need to be encouraged not to be tempted to be troubled when Jesus left. Why? Because they're going to face opposition. They're going to face persecution. And with Jesus gone, they wouldn't have the resources they would need to continue to follow with what God had commanded them to do. It's like eating chocolate or making chocolate chip cookies with no chocolate chips. You know what you need to do? You need to go do the work of Jesus. But Jesus isn't going to be there. How are we going to do this? How can we do the work of God, the work of Christ, and Christ isn't even there? So they're just at a loss. How are we going to accomplish this? How are we going to move forward with this? I don't have the ability, the strength, I don't have the message, I don't have anything without you. They would have understood that to be true. So Jesus began to explain to them how they would accomplish his mission without him being there, and he used an analogy. Verse number one, it says, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So Jesus says, I'm going to use an example, an analogy to help you understand how you're going to have everything you need to be able to do what I'm calling or asking you to do. And he says, I'm the vine. So already we know we're talking about branches and vine and how that process works. He does say that my Father is the husbandman or the gardener, which tells us that God is in control and he is navigating through this so that his mission, his will might be accomplished. I think sometimes we forget that great truth. By the way, this isn't in my notes, but we forget that God is in control. Amen. That God knows what he's doing. That God knows how he can use what we see as a failure or a mistake on God's part, that God can use it for good. He can use it for the furtherance of the gospel and to accomplish something positive. God can do that, and he desires to do that. But then it says, it indicates that Jesus is the vine, meaning he's the source of life to any branch that would grow out of the vine. So the vine being the source of life and growth, Jesus begins with this to explain to his disciples that he is the source of life and growth and strength to his disciples. So everything that they would need, they would get it from him. So in verse 4, look at what he says. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except ye abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. So he commanded them to abide in him. Abide here is the Greek word meno. It occurs 120 times in the Bible, and other places in the scripture it's used this way. Abide, as in our passage, it's used as remain or dwell or continue or to tarry or to endure. So basically what Jesus is saying is, I want you to stay in me. Now, it's not a reference to whether or not somebody can lose their salvation. But what Jesus is describing is where the power comes from, where the source of strength comes from. It's sort of like a fan. When you plug a fan into the wall and it produces the airflow that you're desiring, and I like to have a fan by me when I'm sleeping at night. Like, in fact, this is a problem if I don't have a fan. It's hard for me to fall asleep. It's maybe a silly thing, but you know, so I have the fan and I turn it on, and I don't know. I like to pull the blanket up right by my, this is so silly, but I like to pull that blanket right up by my face, and I like the fan just to blow right there. And I'm just like, I love this. And so anyway, so I have the fan. Sometimes though, we have like 1,000 pillows on our bed sometimes. So you know what I'm talking about? So anyway, I'm throwing pillows off. And the cord to the fan stretches across and it plugs in, and I throw the pillow and it hits the cord and unplugs it. And I'm in bed. I'm right there. I'm like, yes, throw the pillow off, unplugs fan. Ah. So then I'm thinking, well, who can plug this back in for me? That's why you have kids. You have, hey, y'all are like, what do you mean? I mean, that's why we have kids, so they can plug things back in whenever they get unplugged. So the point is this. If the fan isn't plugged in, it doesn't work. There's no power there. So abide here means to be plugged in. It means to be plugged in. It means that your source is Christ. He's the one that gives you the strength. If you're going to grow, it's going to be Him. If you're going to bear fruit, it's going to be because you're plugged into Him. That if you're not plugged in, then you're not going to grow. If you're not plugged in, then you're not going to have strength. You're not going to be anywhere near where you need to be because you're not plugged in. He is the source. He's where the power comes from. Without Him, there's nothing. In fact, that's what He said, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. That's being plugged in. For without me, ye can do nothing. So He is absolutely necessary for the success of the disciples. Jesus is the source of their ability to produce fruit. Without Him, they could do nothing that would produce the fruit that Jesus is asking them to produce. They need to be plugged into Him. There's no ability outside of that. Look at verse number 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So there are those who are not plugged into Christ. Let's just reflect on this for a minute. There are those who are not plugged into Christ, and it represents two kinds of people. Let's not miss this. First of all, those that are not plugged into Christ represent people who aren't saved, people who are lost. And one day, there will be a gathering. And one day, there will be a time when those who are not in Christ will be cast into the fire and burned. Amen. Cast into the lake of fire for all of eternity. You know, I was thinking about this. Brother Larry and I had a great talk. I say great. I mean, we're just bearing our hearts with each other, which is a positive thing. We should all feel like with our church family, we can do that. And we're just, you know, I'm talking about, okay, so I'm having a little bit of a struggle right now, but I can't even tell you what it is. And so I'm just sort of bearing my heart in that way. And one of the things that you have as a pastor is a struggle of wanting people to like you and actually saying what God told you to say. And sometimes one works against the other one. When you're the pastor, I want people to like me. But what I'm about to say isn't always fun to hear, you know? So there's this struggle of wanting to feel accepted. And then with that, this is what you and I were talking about. With that, there's this almost at times a feeling of disconnection, because it's like a teenage child who is rebellious and their mom and dad somehow became the bad guys. And your mom and dad love you. They want to help you. They're pointing you in the right way. And they're telling you things you need to hear, not always things you want to hear. And so there's that friction there. And as a parent, you wonder, do I need to keep saying this? Because I don't like this friction between us. I want us to be close and I want us to be friends. And I don't want there to be a hard feeling between us. So as a parent, you just struggle sometimes, because you want to do the right thing, but at the same time, you want to be liked. It's like that being a pastor too. But can I say that as the man who's been called of God to deliver the message, and you who's been called of God to be the parent of your children, and us who are called of God to be Christians in this world, what we need is to be plugged into Christ. What we need is to say what people need to hear. We need to live in a way that God is calling us to live, no matter what the world thinks about it. No matter what anybody thinks about it. This is what God wants us to do. And so with that, there's a message that is delivered that we need to be plugged into Christ. And sometimes there's a friction that goes on in the hearts of people who need to hear the message but don't always like it. I mentioned in prayer just a little bit ago that I asked God that He would hit us with the hammer. meaning that God in the work of the gospel would strike our hearts with the hammer of the word, and that doesn't always feel good when he strikes us with the hammer, but that's what we need. And it could be this morning, it could be that whether we like it or not, whether it feels good or not, or whether we like the way the pastor or the preacher or the church is delivering it or not, if we're lost, then we will be separated from God and cast into the lake of fire for all of eternity. They go, I don't like hearing that message, but we need to hear it because it will happen. There's a day that's coming when this will all be over. And those that are not plugged into the vine in salvation will be cast into the fire. And we need to hear that. If you're lost this morning, you need to get saved before it's too late. And God convicts us. He pricks us. He speaks to us about our need of salvation. As Christians, this is a second part of that. As Christians, we need to operate being plugged into Christ, but often Christians try to operate in their own strength. And anything that we would do to operate in our own strength, it will produce nothing for the kingdom of God, and it will not make us stronger. It will not give us the ability to grow or to be able to do the things that in our heart we know we need to do. We can't do it without Christ. We can't do it without being plugged into Him. It's like it says, like Paul said, our works without Christ will be gathered like wood, hay, and stubble and be burned. So verse 7, look at what he said. Jesus said this, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. So here Jesus referenced how the disciples would have the ability to navigate the ministry with their success. He said, abide in him. Remain plugged into him. Remember that he's the source of their strength and their ability. And then asking him to do the work through them. Going to him because we understand he's the source. And asking him to work through them. That's amazing to me. Why? Because it means that the ability the disciples would have to bear fruit, to have strength, to accomplish what God is calling them to accomplish, they would have to have a personal walk with Jesus. They would have to have a personal communion with him in the sense that they would communicate with him, that they would be close to him, so that they would go to him and ask him. Ask him for strength. Ask him for the ability. Ask him for, you know, all that's necessary to do the things that he's calling them to do. He said in the first part of the verse, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, he references his words again, that they would need his word to work in them. They would need his word to work through them, and they would do that also by communing with him and asking him. Well, just like the disciples would need to have a connection to Christ, they would need to be plugged into Christ as a branch would need to be plugged into the vine. That's how people grow today. That's how you and I are used of God today. It's by being plugged in. We must be plugged in. Like I said a minute ago, he is the source of everlasting life. I had a great talk with a couple of people yesterday about creation, and you know, when I was in St. Joseph, Missouri, I was a youth pastor, and I had a zeal for God, and I wanted people to come to church, so I would give tracts away, I would invite people to church, and I remember inviting somebody from the coffee shop to come to church. I was about 25, this individual was about 18 or 19, and attended the local university, and I just made the invitation like I would anytime. Hey, I'm from, you know, Bible Baptist Temple, and I want to invite you to come to church as my guest. And people would respond in all kinds of ways to invitations like that, but the way this person responded, I'd never heard before. She said, I'm an atheist. And then that was it. And I didn't know what to say. It just threw me off. I'd never had anybody say that. So I sort of stumbled over myself a little bit and I said, I'll pray for you. And she said, thanks. It didn't mean anything to her when I said that. I did pray for her, but it bothered me. I didn't know how to encourage somebody that way. So when you study what an atheist is, you'll find that an atheist is somebody who does not believe in God. That's what the word atheist means, without belief in God. And so somebody who doesn't believe in God would embrace that. They obviously can't prove that God doesn't exist. They would argue, well, you can't prove that he does exist. And so here we are both embracing what we believe by faith. I believe in God by faith. The atheist believes there's no God by faith. And the evidence that we both can look at is the nature that we live in. And so when we make the observation of the nature that we live in, here's what we'll find. We'll find that we live in a very organized universe. So that church started, Sunday school was at 9 o'clock, and the main service was at 10 o'clock, and we were all here, most of us were here on time today, at 10 o'clock when church began. But how can we do that? How can we all be here at 10 o'clock when church begins? Because the earth rotates on an axis, floating literally on nothing. And it's so precise that we can tell time to the split second. That's how we're able to be here at 10 o'clock. And the deeper you look into the creation, into the nature and creation that we live in, what you'll find is, what you'll have to conclude is this. There must be a God. There must be. Why? Because organization and order demands an organizer. Things don't organize themselves. Your house, I don't think, has ever cleaned itself, has it? I mean, the boys, when they were little, we would throw their shoes in the closet. I'm confessing a little bit today. And there was a pile of shoes in there about this tall. What if I opened the closet door and all the shoes were by their matches? In order. Did that happen accidentally because we were throwing them in there? No. Somebody organized those shoes. They're going to get a piece of candy for that. Here's the point. When you make an observation of order and organization, order says there's an organizer. Organization says there must be somebody who organized this. And so when we observe the world we live in, we must conclude there is a God. You know what I think most people who are reasonable would do that? I think most people who wonder about where we came from, because by the way, we do exist. We came from somewhere. We're not living in a fantasy of something. This is real. Amen. So we came from something. We came from somewhere. And most people would confess, would admit, there must be a God. But here's where the breakdown happens. Is when God begins to want to work in your heart. When God begins to tell you, you need to be plugged into me. The creator of all that is, it begins to speak to your heart and begins to speak to you about your need of him. That's where the breakdown happens. Why is that true? Well, if we're lost, then there's something in us that wants to reject what God is speaking to us about so that we might remain on the path that we're on. And so we resist the surrender. We resist what he's speaking to us about. But yet in his mercy, in his grace, he convicts us and he speaks to us and he guides us into his path. He guides us into him, into salvation. And that might be where you are this morning. It might be where you have... You have not turned your heart to Christ, and he has been trying to work in you and speak to you and strike your heart with the hammer of his word, and there's been a resistance there. And I want to encourage you that what you would be wise to do is to acknowledge him as your need of, acknowledge him in your need of salvation. Yeah. Acknowledge that we are sinners, and without him, without being connected to Christ, without being plugged into Christ, or without having salvation, that there's a judgment day that's coming and we'll be cast into the fire. Getting plugged into Christ means for some to get saved today before it's too late.
Amen.
For some Christians, being plugged into Christ is the ability to win against the flesh. That's what being plugged into Christ is. It's giving us the ability to win against the flesh. The flesh is at war with the Spirit of God in us. Our flesh. I mean, God is leading us to do one thing, and our flesh is tempting us and pulling us away from the path that we need to be on.
Amen.
Sometimes people get caught in a trap of thinking that they don't need to be plugged in. And they see effectiveness in the kingdom of God as a checklist. I mean, if I check the boxes, then I'm an effective Christian. The problem with that is you can fill in the boxes in your own strength. You can check the boxes in your own strength. I read my Bible today. Check. I prayed today. Check. I told somebody about Christ today. Check. I gave my tithe today. Check. I attended church services this week. Check. I didn't curse this week. Check. I encouraged people in the Word and in the work this week. Check. So that our Christian life then becomes a laundry list or a grocery list. Man, listen, I have to have a grocery list. If there's more than two things, I guarantee you the third thing is not going to get. We're not getting that. Or one of the three things is going to be forgotten. I might get seven things, but one of the three, I'm forgetting about it. Why? By the way, that always happens too. I don't know how you guys are. I go to the store. I'm getting extra stuff. I need to have a list. So, and by the way, it's a mission. When I go to the grocery store, this is a mission. And this is not an adventure. This is a mission. So I got the list. And here's the thing is, also at a grocery store, I have no idea where anything is.
Amen.
And now, unless it's right by the front door. So when I go in, I immediately start trying to put a strategy together to get out of here as quick as possible.
Yeah.
Right? I know I'm throwing extra stuff in there, but if it's on the way. So I have the list. I'm trying to put the strategy together because I actually, it happens every time, but I hate it. So I'll get over here and I'll get something, and then I'll go all the way across the store and I'll get something else, and the next thing I need is where I just was. And it's like I'm a pinball bouncing back and forth, and I'm there way longer than I need to be. So when I get everything, all the things checked off of my grocery list, then I might say this, mission accomplished. You know? Well, I think sometimes people think their Christian life is like that. We checked off the things off the list, and I did all the things I needed to do today, and what does that mean? I'm an effective Christian. Because I did all of these things. Mission accomplished. We see our Christian life that way, as a series of check marks. But that's not how our Christian life is. Not really. Because you can do all of the things on your checklist and not be plugged into Christ.
Amen.
Well, I'm struggling. I'm not doing good. I'm really down. I'm depressed. I have a lot of anxiety. I'm angry. I have anger issues and I have all this stuff. You know what my problem is? I must not be doing the checklist. I haven't been reading like I should, and I haven't been praying like, and we go through the list of the things that we need to be doing, and maybe we haven't been doing some of those things, and that's as a result of that, that's why I'm struggling so much. That's not why you're struggling so much. You're struggling because you're not plugged into Christ. He is the source of strength. There is no source of strength in any list that we might accomplish. It's in Him. It's personal. It's not technical. Well, I did all the things. That's technical. What we need is a personal walk with Him. What we need to be is connected to Him in a personal way. So that we talk to Him every day. And it's real. It's a real conversation. I was on my knees and I prayed while we were thinking about 100 other things we need to do today. The disciples, needed to have strength and wisdom. They needed to have an ability that no checklist could give them. They needed to be plugged into the vine as the branches. He didn't pick them because of their abilities. Aren't you glad God didn't pick us because of our abilities? He didn't pick them because of their effectiveness. He uses them and He'll use us because without Him we can do nothing. And so what do we need? We need to surrender. You got to stop fighting. Well, you know, I'm trying to do the things. Surrender. That's what we need. Make ourselves available to Him as a vessel that's empty so that He can fill us and use us. People need to grow. We need to grow. We need strength. We desire to be used, but we must be plugged into Christ. It might be this morning that you have been doing the checklist, but you've not been filled. You might have been attempting to do the things that you need to do, but something's missing. And what we need to do this morning is surrender to Him. We need to turn our hearts over to Him in a personal way. If you need to be saved this morning, salvation is personal. Amen. It's not going through the motions or doing religious things. He speaks to you. Amen. And He wants to have a relationship with you. Amen. And so you need to surrender to Him. Yes. You need to come into a personal relationship with Him. It's the same for you and I as Christians who we desire to grow. Listen, we desire to be close to Him. We fight the personal part of our Christian life. And we try to do all the things, but we don't have a personal walk with Him. And what we need to do this morning is surrender to Him and come to Him that we might be plugged into Him in a personal relationship and personal walk. I love to walk with the Lord, literally. There's a trail out behind my house, and in the mornings I'll read the Word and I'll get on my knees, and it's good. But then there's those times I need to go walk, and I need to walk with the Lord, and we'll talk. And it's personal. And He reminds me so often in that context that I've been working so hard and making such great effort and trying and trying and trying. And it seems like we're just spinning the wheels and we're not going anywhere. And He says, listen, you just need to be plugged into Me. What you need to be accomplished in your life, only I can do it. And it might be that there are some of us that need to get to that place this morning so that we'll surrender ourselves to Him and be plugged into Him again. Father, we thank You.